a mm-hmm. go. Mm-hmm. And then I bought him that car.
Good.
And he said, you can make it go. And he said, Mike, what's in there real cheap, man. So the lady come over to see me, and she's telling everybody, this young man's going to buy my club, you know. And
yeah, right.
No intention, you know. He come out to your encore to see me. You going to take it over? He said, come down and see me. This is what he have. This is all he's got to you. Come down and see me Monday, will you? We'll sit in the hour. I said, just come down and talk to him. I said, okay. I walked out there. I signed the contract with the club.
Yeah.
Now I can't go in the club for 3 weeks when my contract gets terminated.
Yeah.
And I'm telling myself, what the hell did you do, Jerry? You signed up for a club.
Yeah.
Well, what they did, I had to sign it. My arms were so tired, I had to sign a check every, that they paid them every week.
Okay.
I said, hi.
Yeah.
Tell a couple people.
Right.
Man, I said, I was scared. Dude. I said, well, all I can do is take it back off of it, right?
Yeah.
That's a, I went in there and that car went zoom.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sure, Jerry.
Man, I paid them off way halftime. Mm-hmm. And he's. And then I became a threat to the club owner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
right.
Out here trying to black.
Right.
So when I lost the lease down there, I couldn't tell you there was no place I could go. See, I had a club where white were coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I went in the hill, I'd have died.
No, I
homeless. So they black bombed everywhere. Right. There's a shop for me to go.
Yeah.
See, Willard Shine, they're moving to Walnut Street.
Yeah.
And anybody coming to Walnut Street had to go through Mendelssohn, who's his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
So they said, oh no, we can't touch him. Go back, make black bomb. I want to, they said the greatest, they had this magnet, Pittsburgh magnet, come out, and whole lot of them. The girl come, used to come in on Thursday night, she said, Jerry, she said, you skyrocketed over everybody, but now, the owner of the magazine is saying, we can't make him win, because Willard and Shine and them are all taking full pay ads out, and we can't make him win. So they said, what we'll do, we'll give him another category. We'll say the Secret Rendezvous Club.
Yeah.
I wanted the best jazz club in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't give it to me. And I can understand that. It was business.
Yeah.
It was business.
Yeah.
Guys said, man, these people are all taking out full paid ads. I'm not taking out nothing, man.
You didn't have to.
No, you didn't have to. Right?
Yeah. Word of mouth, man.
Well, how long did you have that club?
14 years. 14 years.
Was it? I didn't know it was that long. Because I know I was in there half a dozen times, and because you were bringing in different people.
Yeah, bringing out Hibbler.
Yeah.
And what really made my club go? All celebrities started coming there.
Right,
you know?
Right.
All every celebrity in town
would come through. Yeah.
Georgie Benson, he come in.
Yeah.
Beaver.
Hubbard.
Big
Hubbard.
Yeah. All of them was there, man.
Stanley.
Stanley come and play. And then when they had that Black Solidaire thing in town.
Right, right.
Maxine Solomon, Roy Ellis,
right.
The whole thing was there.
Right,
man.
Right.
It was just a...
Billy's way, Billy's time. Now that was Billy's home.
And then and then what Billy did, Billy would always say, if you're in Pittsburgh, he told Sinatra to map.
Right, come by.
Yeah. So when Sinatra came down to Civic Arena, after the band came up, I'll never forget it, I was upstairs getting dressed, and I hear somebody playing on my drums, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Man, nobody puts I get down there and... I see this white guy here, fixing my drum pedal.
Mm-hmm.
I get a barmaid hell, you know. I said, I told you, nobody go up there. So I go up, I tap him on the shoulder. I say, hey, buddy, this is no toy.
Mm-hmm.
He looked up and I recognized his face. Yo, how you doing, man? It was Charlie Callis.
Right.
He said, I'm here to open up for Sinatra, you know.
Right.
And I said, oh, we went up there and we had the greatest talk.
Yeah.
And he played drums nice. Played nice. But that's the way it was.
Yeah.
Everybody came.
Yeah.
One lady came in. I'll never forget an old lady, man. Diamonds everywhere. Mm-hmm. Buying everybody's out. She said, I just met Mr. Sinatra in Atlantic City. And he told me I had to come to Pittsburgh to stop.
Right.
He said, stop by Jerry Betterbuck. I never met Frank at the time. I knew where Canville came from. Billy X time.
Yeah.
Then I did meet Frank. That's
the name. Well, you're, how long did you do things with X time?
Oh, God. We go back. Billy and I go back about 20 years. And it became a good friendship, you know, just a great friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And but see, I knew Billy in New York too, see?
Right.
And he was a big help to me, man.
Just
talking to me, he helped me.
Right.
He told me a lot of things, man. He tell me, you're wrong about, sometimes I get real bitter.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, man, I said, man, I'm doing good here in Pittsburgh, but I feel like I should be able to do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go out and...
Mm-hmm.
He said, let me tell you something. He said, you came up the wrong time. He said, let me put it different. He said, you got yourself qualified now, mm-hmm. at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. He said, maybe back then you weren't qualified. Yeah. I thought I was.
Yeah.
He said, but now you could handle it all. Yeah. He said, but he feel good. He said, because if the call comes, you're ready.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said that. He said, then, I'll never get this. He says, but you, he said, you have friends, legends that are friends of yours,
mm-hmm.
as friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're friends, he said,
mm-hmm.
and they're legends.
Mm-hmm.
You, and he said, you rub shoulders with legends as friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes you a legend in a sense.
When you were in New York, did you find the competition for the jobs? Did you find many drummers, you know, the musicians that were there, were there as much of a chore for you to get the jobs, or you just go in and...
Well, you know what, I guess I was pretty lucky. I was sent off to Stixers. Somebody would call and say, hey man, he said, I got a nice little drummer here, man.
Mm-hmm.
It fits you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Chuck. Well, a lot of these cats were kicking my ass playing a hard jet.
Well,
but I could play all around.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So when they call for a show or something like that,
right.
he said, I got the drummer for you.
Yeah.
So I never
right.
had to fight that competition.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
And it's like he recommended me for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was all around. Like you're all around.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
play all
around. Yeah.
How many guys can
yeah.
do what you're doing?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you're the greatest.
No, no. That's
it's just
thing.
Like Roger, God bless him, play his
yeah.
ass off.
Yeah.
But I'll touch him long time. I'll beat Roger's death on the show.
Yeah.
You know. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And because it mentally,
yeah.
you don't want to do that,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
Well, when you were, I mean, what gave you that insight, you know, that when you got to New York, you knew that if I do this, then I'll work. I mean, you know, did you grasp that or how?
I grasped that, man.
Yeah.
But I grasped it through my older brothers and stuff.
Right.
And then, thank God, I was an old piano player. On 116th Street, Lenox, his name is St. Clair Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the cat wrote.
Where you need him.
Yeah, he was in on that right now.
Okay, okay.
And
okay.
so he took me in, right? And he said to me, you know, kid, he said, you know why I took you out? He said, you got flair about you, man. He said, I know 100 better drummers than you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but you got a flair. You're bringing people in. He said, I look like a little kid. Like a little kid, you know? He said, you got this flair. He told me that. He said, I told him, well, man, I'm going to go out on the road. I'm going to do it. He said, you'll never make it. You have to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
You have this flair
yeah.
about you.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. And I did what he wanted.
Right.
I did what he wanted. And that's what
he yeah. Yeah. And
you're
more,
I was a clean.
Right. And you're more successful that way.
Damn right. Yeah.
Because a lot of guys, I mean, maybe there's guys that have...
J.C. Moses, God bless him, man.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
J.C. is a lot younger than me.
Yeah.
When I first met J.C. Moses, he was dancing.
Yeah.
What they call Baby Applejack.
Right.
So I got him a job playing drums. He played his ass off. I said, I'm going to send you on the country club. I had to play the first hour, then I had to go to Monzo's.
Mm-hmm.
So I built a group around him.
Mm-hmm.
Got Howard Russell on bass.
Mm-hmm.
I had to take a group with me. So I said, well, meet the Black Magic Lounge. Go to the country club. I opened up, and you guys come on. When I went over there, J.C. had a dashiki on,
right.
and he had a girl with him with an
yeah,
and
yeah.
I said, man, I said, you know, I got to say, go back home,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I get one guy a jacket.
Yeah.
They weren't qualified for it. As good as he could play,
yeah,
you know that,
yeah.
wasn't qualified.
So, I mean, you know, because, like I was, you know, you have to have the insight to understand these things, but a lot of these the younger
they
guys they don't understand.
Know
it.
And then Patty Terrell called me out one day talking to some young musicians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what they said? Oh, he's a white man.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah.
That's the attitude they had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you're doing what's correct and what is
yes.
the right way
and
to do
and
it.
And capable of doing it.
And capable, yeah. Because, I mean, if you're working, you must be successful.
Yeah.
You know, if you're working, you must be doing something right.
I was telling John, I'll be 66 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I could say, I'm getting more
mm-hmm.
job call for jobs now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can pick them too.
Yeah, and Fox
yeah,
Circle,
not,
Country
right,
Club.
Right.
And only because of what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, whatever you're able to do, And as long as you bear in mind, you know, you're pioneering, you're in the forefront, because there's some people that are going to follow us.
That's right.
You know, there's some kids, and we have to go and do this thing in the right way. We have to lay the groundwork. You know, we have to prove to these folks that we do know how to go out and play the jobs
and
present ourselves right and do it. You know, that's the thing, because a lot of the youngsters, they just don't understand. They want these kinds of jobs, but they're not prepared.
No. And you can't make this comparison except what you want to give them. Yeah. You got to give them
what they want, because they're paying.
That's right.
And you got to... you had mentioned about Ann Baker. Did you do much work with her?
Not really. I booked Ann on the job a couple of times. I got a couple of jobs,
yeah.
But it's just later. And Ann's so close to John, that's how we got together.
Yeah, okay.
He admires her. He's got her on tape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, wait 1 minute.
He's got a lot of things on tape. Yeah. That we'll get into later on, Jerry.
Yeah, I got a lot of things. Yeah. Okay, but Ann never really made it. You know why she never made it? When she went to Basie's band, she followed Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
She played Billie Holiday.
Right, right.
What's his name?
Yeah.
Billie
yeah.
Holiday, yeah. Nobody knew anybody. Right. Then when she went with B, she would come in behind Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she followed Giants and nobody wanted to hear Ann.
Yeah.
But Billy did tell me that. He said Ann fronted the band better than Sarah and all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's cool.
Yeah.
And she's still loving. And we're gonna have to get
yeah,
to her.
We'll get to her.
And then
we go down
and Ann's like you and I all yeah. cross each other out. We were down, Billy come in town, me and Ann and I would sit down and be, you know. And so I showed Ann that tape, we made a pretty one.
Yeah.
That beast tune. And so, and Ann said, damn, B, you must have wrote it for Jerry. Billy would get mad.
Yeah.
And Ann said, don't get mad. I'm just telling the truth. You sound better than that song you did, B. And so Ann told me, Ann said right in front of B. She said, you know, B, remember you said I'm going to write this song out and you sing it, Ann? Ann said, I went on stage. Billy was a big band
mm-hmm.
man.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, ladies, no, Ann Baker. Ann come out.
Yeah.
Ann was pretty motherfucker, too. Ann come out there, man. Ann sang this song. And the people wouldn't stop clapping.
Yeah.
And she's out there bowing.
Yeah.
They wouldn't stop clapping. And she said, B come out and said, yeah, bowed and said, get off of your gray-eyed bitch. That's the way B was.
Don't stay out there too goddamn long.
I'm saying, Jim.
He said, get off of your gray-eyed bitch. Now, come on.
She got gray eyes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You'll enjoy her, Chuck.
Yeah.
And she tried to
I'll try to find out if we can find out when she hits Washington, PA, and we go over there.
Yeah,
it'll be easier.
Yeah,
be you and
yeah,
Gary
be nice,
and
yeah.
Kathy.
Did you?
I see Miles Davis put her in his book.
Yeah, yeah.
And we tried to sign him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we went down to attorney to sign, and whenever she was with Beach Man,
mm-hmm.
Miles was just a kid. He wasn't in the band. Right, followed the band around.
Right.
And Ann would pick him up and carry his shoulder.
Yeah.
So the boy brought him on the bus. Look out after him, you know?
Yeah.
And he sat there and just admired Dizzy and Fast, you know?
Right.
He couldn't, we wasn't drunk to play with those guys, you know? They, he said him one night, they gave him a big trumpet.
Right, 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 right.
And so he wrote in his book, Ann Baker's a Horror Band, we all fucked it.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. It's in the book.
It's
in the book.
So we, you know, and it's a lie. It's a lie. Jerry and I, everybody knows it's
a lie. And so when B saw the book, I'll never get it. We were doing this concert here, Billy and I. At the East Liberty, and the press come in.
Oh, yeah.
So they went, they interviewed us, talked to us, you know. And so, you know, and white boy said, Billy says, Mr. Eckstein, I understand Miles Davis in your band, and you know Miles pretty well? B said, yeah, I know him. He's always been a little black cock-sucking liar.
Yeah.
This young kid said, but he knew what he was about Ann.
Yeah.
This young kid's going, he said, that lie, he's been a little cop talking about his life.
Yeah, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want to
And that's sad, too.
It is.
It's important to put it in.
Did you go to any music schools?
I just studied with this, it's a drum studio, but every drummer in New York went there.
Right.
He was independent.
Right.
You know,
like for Breezy here.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Same thing. Okay. But he had a contact where if anybody needed a drummer, they'd call his studio.
Right. Right.
And that was a help for me.
Right. Because he could sing
that. I'll never get the first time I went to New York. I came to New York, okay? I got out in Harlem, I was scared to death. I never seen somebody like that. I was scared. Man, the banker was
black. Yeah, he's right.
You know, I was scared to death. And
because my driver,
yeah, and my vernacular was a little different than there, you know. Yeah. And so I was scared. Then I got home, I thought, wait a minute. Camouflage. They'll know what I am, just like them. And I thought, boy, if a white guy fell in here like I did, I could see why I'd be scared.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm playing around there, and he started giving me all these drinks. So I thought, I got to find a place I can play. I'm new now. Because I went there, went to New York, caucus, because I'm burning everybody down.
Yeah, right, right here, right.
As soon as the band come through town, we got all over boy to play. And I was doing that Gene Cooper stuff, you know.
Right, and I
wasn't ready.
Yeah.
I thought I was, you know. Yeah. When I got to New York, well, I'm going to kill everybody. So I went to the studio, and God bless Dick Evans. He must have knew this is a young country kid. You know, he said, you want to take lessons? Take lessons? Mm-hmm. I'm Jerry Bettis. Right. He embarrassed me, you know.
Yeah.
I said, I understand all the big drummers come in here.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. I said, oh, yeah, they all come by.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to play with them. He said, well, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, they'll be by some by here tomorrow around 2 o'clock. What are you doing? I said, I'll be down here, but I'm going to kick these big names out of there. You know? But when I walked in there, I'm waiting and stuff. And I thought, he had two brand new set of drums up here, so there was no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, boy, I couldn't say the drums are bad.
Yeah.
Two brand new sets facing each other.
Hey,
you know, man,
he looked
at me
all
the way. So I was, my old Gene Cooper said, two hands shit, and then he had come in his way. So I started, left hand shit, drop and bump.
Yeah.
So I did something else, and he had it with one hand. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Man, I'm trying, I must have played. He said, man, I'm getting tired, I'm gonna quit now, man, I gotta go, man. Nice, you kidding tonight?
Yeah.
Man, I'm a dream.
Yeah.
I said, I'm saying to myself, he beat me. Shit, ain't nothing. But I was, maybe this was luck. I'll wait on the next one. Next guy come in, man. Shadow looks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember Shadow?
Right.
Yeah. Shadow is very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I heard of Shadow now. I said, I'm going to get there. I'm going to ignore this Rudy Nichols. I won't
get this.
I'm waiting on him. What do you want to do? I said, now, I learned a little bit. I ain't going to talk off so fast, right?
Yeah, right.
I'll get him on a groove. But putting him on a groove is right from Shadow.
That's what he wants.
That's his beat, man. Shadow knew right away what I was.
Go ahead, he said, go ahead.
Go ahead, baby, go ahead. So I did my fourth. Don't. Come on, Deku was sitting up. Shadow said, yeah. Shadow said, I heard this shit coming out of his tongue. And he's sitting there just calling me like,
right.
What the hell is he doing? So I won't get him now. I'll try that. Now I'm saying, I'm learning it. I'm trying to do his cool shit. Yet I'm still got that old. Ricky, the almost a white shit for
you. Yeah,
Shattered it to me. He says, hey, kid, another drummer come in. Like I never heard, he come in hot.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he's coming in, he plays with Billy Holiday. You know?
With the sticks in his hand.
And I said, I said, oh, well, I'm going to get him. Billy Holiday, I'm going to really get him. This old man laid back. Chuck, I never heard that beautiful smooth shit in my life. And he was just tasty. And I realized it. I went home, I cried like a baby. I actually cried. Because nobody ever beat me playing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
Right.
I cried like a baby. Yeah. And so then I'm sitting home now, trying to do this on the pillow, on the couch, man. I went down to Sticks and I'm playing. Sticks is teaching me, but he's not telling me he's teaching me. I'm not taking that. He knew I was too proud. He said, come on, help me clean up here. You've been in charge of the studio. So then I was playing left-handed. And you know, I'll never get this, man. I said, I got this shit now. You know, and now I got this. I'm waiting on something right now. And he said, I don't want you to take no job. I was like his pet. I'm taking a job. That's when I told you about this piano player.
Mm-hmm.
I went down and said, anyone on. He said, well, you want to play with me? He said, you play every Wednesday night with me. He liked what I did. I said, okay. So I'll be down, stick says, where are you going tonight, man? I said, I'm going to take my girl to the movie, man. I didn't even know I was working there. What's his name? He said, man, they tell me there's a left-hand drummer knocking everybody out here, man. We good. What's going on here? I said, man, I can't go here now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went down to do my job with the piano player. Sticks walked in. He said, well, you son of a bitch, you're the one everybody's talking about. And it was me. And it was great college.
Yeah.
Sticks was very proud, but he knew what I was.
And
I was playing, sir.
Yeah.
But you know, I could have been the type of cat maybe that didn't listen to what they were doing. I think the problem is a lot of guys think they're good and don't know when they're not being good.
Right, right.
If you know you can't do a certain thing, like I'll say, hey man, you got this because you can do this. I'll back off in a minute. Yeah. You know.
You gotta know what your capabilities are.
That's right, and you gotta know when you're wrong. If you make a mistake, know you made a mistake.
What information would you pass off to some of the younger drummers, some of the younger musicians coming through now, the ones that would listen to you and take some advice?
I would tell them, I said, you know, like I met a young drummer, man. He's playing his drums here. I said, you know, man, I said, that isn't really jazz. You know what I mean? I said, you don't know how to swing. I mean, what you're doing, man, he said, can you do it? I said, not as good as what you're doing. Yeah. I can't do as good as you. Well, I can do what you're doing, but you do what I do now.
Right.
Couldn't come close to it. And I said, you got to learn how to swing. You got to start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to get the roots, the beginning. You got to love all them old guys, man. Mm-hmm. If you can't respect them old guys, forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going nowhere trying to start up here.
Mm-hmm. Who was... What drummers were you influenced by?
Well, first it was Gene Krupa, because I saw him in the movie.
Yeah, right.
But as soon as I started getting out there, Joe Jones, old man Joe Jones, he's the one that really knocked me down, you know. Then Roy Haynes, I love Roy
Haynes. Yeah.
And I tell you who I think, talk about all-around drummer, Cathus Sings.
Grady Tate.
Best all-around drummer there.
Yes.
I mean, you take Max, yeah. Art Blake, all that. Yeah. Really,
he does everything.
He can do it all,
he
man.
Does everything.
John, he'll sit there and read that chart, yeah. And I'll tell you who else can do it, but he's not as good as him mentally. Charlie Purcell.
Yeah, yeah.
Monster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right at concert.
Yeah.
Get him up on his drum, man. Dang.
Yeah, yeah.
He don't want to play.
Yeah.
Man, he can do it all.
Yeah.
But there's Grady Tate, man. We have to, boy. Do it all. And I tell you who else can do it all. It wasn't that cold, Lee Young.
Okay.
Lee Young, man. I was with the rehearsal, wasn't that? And Lee come in. He's the musical director.
Mm-hmm.
They brought the Pittsburgh Symphony, the violin players in, and mm-hmm. Lee was conducting Hollywood. Mm-hmm. He's the drummer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, man, he said, I respect you, your ability. He's very nice. Yeah. I know you guys are in the mm-hmm. symphony.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but this flows, baby.
Yeah.
But you said, we flew this, they couldn't feel it again. And he told the band, he says, and everything we're doing now, he says, I'm doing it not quite fast as Nat would do it. He said, and you start making it. He says, I'm going to call out New York and bring me a lead trumpet player. Because lead trumpet player, they thought he was fixed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring that. I don't know who the guy was, Chuck. He came in. It looked like Cootie Williams, that type of guy. I don't know who he was now. He sat down that section, man. He said, come on, Lee, I just flew in here, man.
Yeah.
Let's get this shit started. Yeah. I'm thinking this nigga ain't gonna be able to play.
Yeah.
Man,
right.
He was the whole trumpet section.
Right. Yeah.
And his wife was looking at him like that. And then I'll tell you who else did it. Charlie Shavers.
Yeah.
Charlie Shavers sitting with that big band behind Sinatra's son.
Yeah.
And he put his horn down, it was a different section.
Yeah.
Isn't that old thing?
Yeah,
yeah. And that power.
Yeah, because Jerry Nottingham was the trumpet player when we did the Ed Sullivan Show, and that's with Lloyd. And he was the studio trumpet player with BBC, mm-hmm. at that time.
And I went to school with Bobby McCoy. I don't know if you know Bobby.
Yeah, yeah.
We band together.
Right.
We all high school band together. Right. We had a hell of a band.
Yeah, yeah.
So Bobby went on a Johnny Carson show.
Right.
He was in Tenapis.
We had a Bell Palsy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He got on that band, right? And Bobby was cocky, man, because he was like me. He was kicking ass in the mm-hmm. hometown. But Bobby could play.
Mm-hmm.
And man...
He got up there and met some other cats.
He came back, and I'll tell you when I saw him. Then he went with Skits Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him with Billy. He come in, he was in the band playing behind Billy. Mm-hmm. And I said, I thought you were Skits Henderson. He said, man, he said, yeah, he said, I told Sis I was sick. I just wanted to have a night with this band. And he said, you know, Jerry, so I'll never forget it. He said, I learned the greatest lesson in my life. I said, we were from Doc Southern. He said, oh, hell no. He says, Clyde Terry.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He's a Clark Terry. Teaches all of it.
Yeah.
And that was so great. You got Doc getting an award and won the world.
Right.
And I, you know who I love, man? I played with him. The old fat boy. Al Hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I did a gig with him.
Yeah.
And Al Hurt, he says, man, he's on television. They gave him an award. He said, I don't deserve this award. He said, because... He said, and neither do you, this Tony Talk Sullivan. He said, because you got a band, man, sitting back there, can outplay all of us. Talking about Clark Terry. Well, I gave him credit, man, who said it?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what Doc Sullivan said? Nobody be on the show again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of guy he was.
Mm-hmm.
He'll never be on the show again.
Mm-hmm. He probably wasn't.
No, never again.
That's right.
And then I'll tell you a story. Billy told me this one. He said, they're working up in, not Vegas, the other one.
Catskills.
Okay. He said with Harry James band.
Okay.
Larry Armstrong was on the bill too. And so anyhow, he says, Harry James is getting drunk. And I said, how are they? He said, Harry getting drunk. He says, well, we were back in the dressing room. I said, he said, you call him James? Hey, James? He says, guess who's on the audience, man? He said, the fat man. Harry James said, you mean the Albert guy or something? I said, yeah, he's in right there. He said, man, Harry James is so drunk. He said, Harry went out there, lead the flight of the bumblebee, he called all this heavy shit.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that song bass could be drunk as hell.
Mm-hmm.
He's a technician.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, man, when he got finished, he said, what's his name?
Yeah.
He wasn't a jazz song player.
No.
But I mean, what he did.
Yeah, he did what he did.
Right. And you have to respect it.
Right.
And I think a lot of young guys will say that he can't play.
No.
But that's a lot.
You got to give him credit.
You got to give him credit.
But see, and part of it, you got to see, the experience, he came out at Carnival.
That's right.
See, Doc Severinsen came out at Carnival.
Back. And that's hard, man.
It is.
It's hard. Because
I'll tell you what happened to me in 51, 52. Two summers. I went with Brownskin Models, Ellison Miller Brownskin Models, but I went on the Carnival circuit. Two summers. Trumpet, tenor,
what did Jerry Jackson say? Was
drum? It? No. This was Irvin C. Miller and the Bronskin Models, and we were the Carnival thing. And the first year I went out, we didn't have a trombone. Second year I went out, we had a trombone. But I played 19 shows, 19 performances.
That'll be make.
We went to the lot at 9:45 in the morning. And on Fridays, you'd do the Midnight Ramble. Because we had three girls that liked little courses.
Yeah.
You know, so we would do, the Midnight Ramble was like the little risque show. See, grown-ups. The other stuff was all family because you got kids.
Well, you know what you're saying? And that's good because I play shows like that.
Yeah.
And learn how to play because black guys never got a chance to play shows.
That's it, you know.
So we were fortunate.
Right, right.
Like I said, that I know a lot of good drummers here, black guys. They couldn't play them shows.
No.
They couldn't play them.
Because what you learn is how to pace yourself, endurance, because you know, I have the worst problem with Petey, because he comes and if we're playing and for the first couple of, and he wants to bear down and play all of these guys. You can't do that.
No.
You gotta step back, take it slow, because there's some more time, you know, we're gonna be here for a while.
That's right.
You know, we gotta have some. Talk about Harold and the football team.
Mm-hmm.
One, Pitt Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Pete was hired one Sunday to sub for the football game, and that was during the time that they were doing the sessions at the, you know, the Workman's Club.
Yeah.
Across from police station.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So Pete comes to, and Cotton, same thing.
Uh-huh.
Cotton was there, and he'd run down there to the sessions. So Pete came in for the game. You know, and it was cold. You know what it's like, November and the 1st of December, it gets cold up there. You know, and he's sitting over there talking about, yeah, man, I got to save my chops because I'm going to the session. And I got, man, I'm calling him a bunch of dirty names. I said, yeah, this man's paying you to do a job,
right.
And you worried about saving your chops to go down there and play for nothing.
Yeah, right.
You know.
And that's that mentality.
That's
yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know.
Because here you are, you got a chance to make some money.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And play with them people. One,
that's
make
it.
The money. Because, man, we can get on sessions anytime.
Hey, the sessions will be there.
Yeah, we can go. We can call you and say, let's have a session, sir. We can have one.
It'll be there.
Yeah.
It'll be there.
It's good for them.
And that's our mentality. They want to lay in this one bag and say, man, we cooking. Yeah, yeah. And you call them on the job and they can't make it. They
can't do it.
They can't do it.
We gotta get that grouse.
Yeah. And it's, it, you know, it's unfortunate. Another thing that we have, a lot of kids, I mean, the exposure, a lot of kids don't get to see us doing what we do when we do it. You know, kids don't understand country clubs. They don't know what, they don't know what it
is. That's where the video's gonna come in. Yeah. At school.
You have to do it. You have to do it that way. I remember Ducky, we had that rehearsal band. This was in the 70s. 60s, just before it emerged and all that. And we had a couple of young kids. In fact, Phil Whiteley's son played trumpet.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Remember, do you remember when we had that BMOP, the Black Musician of Pittsburgh, that little organization? This
yes.
During the court case? Okay. I remember one Sunday we were at the meeting and we were going to honor Roy Eldridge. Coming up at the press club downtown, and it was mentioned at this meeting about honoring Roy Eldridge, and this kid said something about, who's Roy Eldridge? Because I knew he was a trumpet player. I turned around and I said, you know, I mean, wait a minute, your father, you know,